Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Searig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it is Advent Christmas season, and what a wonderful time of the year it is, isn't it, folks? It doesn't look much like Christmas as we sit here in Iowa and we've had some 60-degree days, and even today, a beautiful 39 degrees and sunny outside, and I tell you what, it just does not get any better than this living in our state. It's just a wonderful time, and I hope, you know, this season, it brings a lot of different thoughts in people's lives about what is the Christmas season, of whether it's a good time, and sometimes for a lot of folks, it brings sadness. It brings loss of a family members or a situation that's going on in their or a hardship in their family or just in their own lives, and it creates a whole lot of different emotions at Christmas time. But we want to dwell on this Christmas season, the birth of Jesus Christ, which brings us joy. That's the reason for the season of why we spend Christmas. Maybe today you're traveling down the highway. You've turned it on to KBOE 104.9 FM. We want to thank you for listening, being with us at Vital Ministries today, and be safe as you travel. It is hot on deer season, so make sure you're being careful. It's second season out there for those men out there and women shooting, and those deer are on the move. I live out in the country. I live on the crazy north, on the northeast, Mahaska County, on the, I would say, the mecca of deer country, and they are on the move and moving quickly. So just be careful as you're traveling down the highway today, and be safe. Also, to those of you who are traveling on your way to church this morning, be safe as well. What a great time to go and be a part of a church in Advent season. And also, too, I just always want to extend to anybody that's out there listening, and you don't have a church home, and you're up around the New Sharon area. I'm a pastor up there at the Lighthouse Church in New Sharon. Would love to have you. Our services are from 10 to 11, and would love to have you join us this morning. And what a great time. So if you would, just think about that. And also, too, those of you who are at home and say, Mike, this is our time, I just pray that as you are at home listening, that is just a wonderful season as we talk and jump into our second week of Advent and the things that we've got going for the Christmas time. Just a few things as we get ready, prepared. Always remember, we send out Vital Ministries, both Vital Life and Vital Men devotionals out 5 days a week. You can go to our Vital Ministries website, check that out for that information and gather that. Also, too, we are taking a break currently for Vital Men. We'll start back up the second week of January. You don't want to miss out. We're on the teaching series in Matthew from the eyes of a tax collector, and it's just a great season as we're looking at that men's stuff. We're in three different locations. We are currently going to shut down our Oskaloosa location and move everyone up into the New Sharon. That's where I pastor, and also too, it's a place of where it's not as far for those men to travel as they go from Oskaloosa that can come to New Sharon. It's about a 10-minute drive. So those of you who are will be willing to come, and we'll be on Wednesday nights. Also, too, we are in Ottumwa as well, and Knoxville. So you can go to our Vital Ministries website and check that out and get that information as we get past this Christmas season. But first, you know, we're going to talk about Joseph. Joseph, the husband of Mary, and also, too, the stepfather of Jesus. And a lot of times we don't want to take it and look at it from that perspective, but he really was. He has no ties with Jesus as far as in a physical realm, because we know that from the virgin birth. But needless to say, even though he was a stepfather, you would never know that he was not the father of Jesus, his earthly father. And if I could describe one word, and we're going to talk about it today, if I could describe one word that I believe that describes Joseph in my mind, is, and that one word is obedience. But let's look a little bit before we get going this morning and kind of set it up a little bit of what's happening. Why is Joseph and Mary on the move? And we're going to look at Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 this morning as we get started. It says this, excuse me. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place with Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and is expecting a child. See, this is the beginning of the Christmas story that we all love to hear, don't we? We can almost see Joseph and walking next to the donkey and carrying a very pregnant Mary. And it's, you know, for us, we want to keep it cinematic or it's simply romantic. Everyone is just happy to be serving the Lord. But have you ever thought about what it was like leading up to the journey as Joseph was about to take his bride to Bethlehem? And that's where we kind of start this morning as we look at the gift of obedience. And if you think about Joseph, I can't help but he had questions. And he has concerns about things that were going on and what people were thinking. And unlike so many of other people being mentioned during his time, Joseph only had a dream to go on. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, about dreams. But as an example, Zechariah couldn't speak, so he knew God was up to something. Mary, she was pregnant, but she could not deny God's work because of the visitation of the angels. The shepherds would also have a host of angels appear before them. And the Magi, the wise men, had a divine star that was literally moving in the sky that moved them over to see the Christ child. But Joseph only had a dream. That's it. And he had to trust that dream while sleeping and actually what God was doing. And a lot of times we have dreams, don't we, and things that we got going on in our life. But that's all that Joseph had. He had a dream. He had this thing that was going on about the Christ child's birth. But this morning, my first point is this: obey in difficult times. See, obeying God is challenging because we want to do what we want to do. However, the general challenge is intensified when you throw in difficulties, right? So here's the difficulty for Joseph. Mary, his fiance, whom he never slept with, is now pregnant. Put that in your mind. How could that be? You've never slept with this woman, and she's about to be your wife, and now she's pregnant. Without a doubt, that would be difficult. And the difficulty in hearing that is she's telling you that it is God. God was the one, the Holy Spirit was the one who made her pregnant. That would be tough, wouldn't it? You would, without a doubt, have to scratch your head and sit and think for a moment, how could that possibly be? But see, Joseph, in the process of all that, before going to Bethlehem, he had a plan. He was going to avoid this difficult time in his life and also to take care of his fiance Mary. But Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 19 gives us this example. And this is what it says. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her in public to disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. So Joseph, he makes a plan. Matter of fact, we would call it a benevolent plan. He's going to step away quietly so Mary is not exposed. He's not running away. He's actually planning on doing a righteous thing. But there's only one problem in his plan. It wasn't God's plan. But yet, as we look at that, we don't have a whole lot about Joseph. We don't have a lot of things said, but what we do have said about him is big. Again, as an example, it said that Joseph, Mary's husband, was a righteous man. That means he lived rightly before God. He was being obedient to what God wanted, and out of being righteous, he wanted to do the right thing. Because back in that time, they could have actually taken Mary out and stoned her to death. But Joseph, he did not want to tell everyone about what was going on, that he had not lied with her, and what the child was not his. So he's still wanting to do the good things. And that's something for us to think about, and especially with men sometimes. I want to talk to you guys just for a second this morning. Men, doing right is sometimes simply the righteous thing, and the righteous thing sometimes is not always exposing everything that's about the situation that's going on. And I think that's so true, and we need men today in our society, in our culture, to be men who are righteous, men who are willing to do what is right, as opposed to doing the status quo of doing everything that isn't right. But let's continue our story about obeying God in difficult times. And let's continue in Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 through 25. And this is what it says. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because she was conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. You will to give him a name, Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, this is what I like. What did he do? He did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. He took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she had gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Again, we see obedience in difficult times playing out. Joseph has a dream. He has a dream in the middle of the night. And this dream is so relevant. This dream is so lifelike because he has an angel of the Lord coming to him in a dream and tells him what to do. This is what you are to do. This is not what you think you should do and putting Mary away. No, you are to take her as your wife. You are going to take her to the town of Bethlehem, and she is going to conceive the Savior, your Savior, who is going to take away the sins of the world. And I love his obedience. During the most difficult time in Joseph's life, God called him to be obedient and to make sure God's word was fulfilled. And I tell you what, folks, that takes incredible obedience and courage to step into moments and difficult times in our lives. And we've all had those difficult times. And so, and all he had on for him was a dream. You know, these other people that we read in the Bible, they had angels, they had visitations. Even the wise men had a star in the sky that moved for them, but not Joseph. He is almost an unseen character in the Christmas story. And I think a lot of times when we step into moments of obedience and in difficult times, that's what God calls us to do. And I think that's the situation in which we see Joseph. He's stepping into a moment. He's stepping into a place of being obedient, of doing what God has called him to do. But let's continue. Who would have blamed him if he would have followed his original plan? The truth is, no one would have known Joseph even had a dream. No one would have blamed him for doing what seemed to be doing right. But see, if you don't get anything this morning, this is the catch. I hope you listen intently these next words that I'm about to speak to you. Obedience is not about who is watching or who knows what, but obedience is about trusting God's plan even when it seems impossible and doesn't make sense. Joseph is obedient because he is a righteous man who trusts God's plan to do the best. And obedience to God is tough when life is good, much less when life is difficult. I think that's incredible for us to think about. Is being obedient, not when simply people are watching, but being obedient when it is simply trusting God's plan and it seems impossible and there is not a direct path in front of you. Man, I don't know about you, but that really makes me think. That makes me really look at my own life and trust in the midst of obedience of what God is calling us to do. See, that baby that Mary was carrying would grow up to say these words, which comes out of John chapter 16, verse 33. And this is the words that Jesus speaks. I have told you these things so that you, that in me, you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. See, difficult times are going to come in this world, aren't they? But he has overcome the world, and that is the hope in which we have, not only in Christmas time, but during other times and other seasons in our life. What a promise. God is not asking us to hop on our donkey and take a pregnant wife on the journey. No, he's asking us to trust that no matter how difficult life gets, he has overcome the world. He's got this. And folks, he does. He's got that. Not only that, but the baby would be the Prince of Peace, the one who would calm the storms of our lives and see us through difficult times. The truth of the matter is that we experience peace when we obey God in the midst of the difficult times in our lives. And that is so true, isn't it? When we are obedient and we are going through difficult times in our lives, and out of that obedience, we become and trust God in the righteousness of our lives. Not that we try to do righteousness on our own, because we can't. Only through the power of the Holy Spirit are we made right with God and asking Jesus Christ to be our Savior. And I hope this morning you want to be right with God. Now is the time to ask Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior of your life. And that is the key to obedience. That's the beginning of the step. That is the beginning of the life journey, in which I believe that helps us to overcome difficult times. And folks, I believe that in the days ahead, that in 2024, I am so looking for the new year. But at the same time, I believe there is going to be great difficulties in 2024, which I mean by that I believe, as I've been hearing, that we are going to see great shakings within our nation. I don't have a clue what that's going to be. But I believe it's coming, and we need to be prepared, and we need to be obedient, and we need to stand in our righteousness and keep our eyes on Jesus to endure the test of the difficulties of the storms that lie ahead in our life. Which brings me to point number two. Obey God in distant places. See, Joseph is going to have three dream visits from an angel. The first came when he instructed to take Mary to his wife, though she is pregnant. Now here's the second dream. The second dream comes after the Magi come to visit Jesus at the Christ child. Now, the Magi did not come. We love to have the nativity sets showing the Magi, the three wise men, which could have been more, but because of the three gifts, we assume three, and we also assume that they came during Jesus' birth, and they did not. Jesus was approximately around 2 to 3 years old when the wise men, the Magi, came to see him. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 14, and get the second dream. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child, his mother, during the night and left Egypt. See, Joseph could have had no idea that when he agreed to take Mary as wife, his life would never, ever be the same. Surely he just wanted to go back home and live his life. It was not safe at home. King Herod was killing baby boys in an attempt to destroy the coming Messiah. So the angel in Joseph's second dream says, take the family to Egypt. Egypt also, folks, is not a safe place, but it is a safer place. This is a foreign land. Joseph and Mary and Jesus are now refugees seeking asylum from a tyrant ruler, and they are far away from family and friends. They have each other and they have God. That's pretty much it. They were there to stay there for approximately 2 to 3 years. So here's a question. Have you ever been there? Have you ever found yourself in a distant place? It could be physically distant from everyone, you know, or it could be emotionally or a social distance. Either way, feeling far away can be difficult. And the real challenge of the distant places is when we feel distant from God. when by choices or circumstances, it seems God is not here with us. You ever have those feelings before like that? By choices or circumstances, I think both are key, right? But it seems that God is not there. See, Christmas is all about God coming to be with us, and yet sometimes we still feel distant from Him. See, the truth is, we are never really distant from God. It's just a feeling. I'm going to say that again. The truth is, we are never really distant from God. It's a feeling. It's our feeling. And again, the baby Jesus would grow up and say this to his followers as he goes in Matthew 20, 28, 20. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. These are Jesus' words as he spoke to the disciples. Now, remember what the angel said to Joseph in his first dream. They call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Christmas is the story of God coming to be with us. We may feel distant from him, but we are not. He showed up and said he's going to be with us at the very end of the age. So during the holiday season, if you feel distant from family, distant from friends, hold tight to the promise of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is always a prayer away. And when we think about that, folks, that is what really helps us in our obedience and trusting God, to understand, to obey God, even when I'm in not necessarily a place, but distance within my own self from Him. We have all experienced that, haven't we? You know, I got to be totally honest with you this morning. You know, a lot of times you think during the Christmas season, especially as a pastor or preaching, this is a tough time of Advent. Because how many times can you truly talk about the Christmas story and make something different that hasn't been said or done before? It's so true. You can go and read the Christmas story. We talk about all the different people, but how do you truly redirect it and make it different, to change it up, to make it different each year? And especially, there is a lot of weight for whoever's a pastor, whoever's person that is teaching on Christmas Eve. It is a weighty night, because people come with expectations that you're going to fulfill a joy or happiness in their life. And really, that is not fair, because only Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, can truly fulfill that. So with that being said, I would have to say I'm struggling with distance of my own. And I realize, even in the distance of my own, that it's still only a feeling. I have to know what I know and continue being obedient to what I've been called to do and trust God. Which brings me to point number three. Obey God in daily life. Now, the final dream. We have Joseph is being called back to Jerusalem, back home to the place of where they came. Now, you would think back home would be Bethlehem, but no, back home for him is Nazareth. So let's look at Matthew chapter 2, 19 through 23. And it says this: after Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go back to the land of Israel. For those who are trying to take the child's life are dead." So what does he do? Joseph gets up, takes the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he had heard Archelaus was reigning in Judea in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said to the prophets: he will be called a Nazarene. Now, God uses life circumstances and challenges us to work to us to accomplish his plans. Isaiah 11:1 said that the Messiah would be a Nazarene. God was using Archelaus and working through Joseph to make this prophetic moment to come true. See, Archelaus was a tyrant even worse than his father, King Herod. Archelaus began his reign by having 3,000 prominent citizens killed. His reputation would cause any good father or stepfather to think twice about taking the child, the Messiah, there. So instead of heading home, the Holy Family would now reside in Nazareth. Now remember, Nazareth is not your, is not, would be called your typical community. It's not going to a community of providence, a community that is well thought of, a community that has what significance above most. And, you know, as I think about some, we have some of those significant communities in our own, around us, right? And oftentimes, people get downplayed because of locations of where they dream. My parents, both my parents came and were raised and went to school through at Beacon, Iowa, which is south of Oskaloosa. And I can't help but think, can anything good come from Beacon? Well, absolutely. My mom and dad did, and I have a lineage from there and family and all that. And when I go through that town, I go back and I have memories about my parents and taking me back to see my grandparents who were you know, even though they lived out in the country, their residence was actually considered Beacon, Iowa. And it was a place that they did living. And that's kind of how it was in Nazareth. Nazareth, Nathanael in the Bible says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And absolutely, that's where the Messiah came from. Even though from the virgin birth, he would be called a Nazarene. So it is a day-to-day obedience in our lives that builds us up to a bedrock of being disciples in Christ. In his most famous obedience to God, God is tough when life is good, much less when life is difficult. The baby that Mary was carrying would grow up and say these words, I have told you these things so that you may have peace in this world and troubles, but take courage, I have overcome the world. See, what I also, too, I like about this is it comes from Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 25. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, puts them into practice, is like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain came down, and the storms rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because its foundation was a rock. Hearing these words, the word of God is good, and no doubt obeying it is even better, because out of obeying of what God speaks in our lives, we learn to be obedient in God in our everyday daily living. Let me have a word of prayer with you this morning. Again, Jesus, we want to thank you for this day. We thank you for Advent season. We thank you for a time that we can come to you and hear how you were born from the virgin birth, from the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, you are our Messiah, you are our Savior, and you are mighty to save even today. And I pray that even someone out there listening today that does not know you as their personal Savior would come to know you. Today is the day of the greatest gift that can be ever given, the gift of salvation. Lord, I pray that anybody listening this morning might hear it and receive you. In your name I pray, amen. Folks, what a great time. We will continue our Advent series. And I am so looking forward as we move toward Christmas Eve. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.